Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from FPX Nickel, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FPX and on the OTC markets under the symbol FPOCF. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Martin Turen. Now, Martin, let's get everybody up to speed on FPX, because a lot has changed for the company in the last about 5 to 6 years. I've had a couple other newsletter writers join me on the show, and they were pointing to FPX as a great play for the nickel market. And nickel has really come back into the eyes of investors thanks to a general price rise. But when it comes to the corporate aspects of FPX, give us an update of some of the developments over the last 5 to 6 years that have really driven at least the FPX share price significantly higher in the last about year now.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, Corey. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey for us, for sure. So our main asset is we control 100% of the Dakar Nickel District in central British Columbia, and that hosts a very large nickel deposit and some other exploration targets we could talk about. The project, we used to hold it in a joint venture with a senior company, Cliffs Natural Resources out of Cleveland. In 2015, we were able to buy Cliffs' interest back from them and reconsolidate 100% ownership. But that transaction occurred at a market low for the nickel price. Nickel was trading at about $3.50 a pound at that time in late 2015. And so for several years, we moved the project forward, but only very slowly. We had sort of difficulty like most juniors did at that time, accessing capital on reasonable terms. And we thought it best to sort of move the project forward at a modest pace and wait to kind of go quickly only when we could have access to capital at more moderate or at a better valuation. We also had kind of significant debt on our balance sheet, which was problematic, I think, and really overhung the stock for many years. Starting last year, things really fundamentally changed. So the price of base metals started to move. We had research coverage initiated on us by two different banks, so by Cormark and Paradigm here in Canada. And then we had the comments publicly by Elon Musk of Tesla, you know, sort of imploring the mining industry for more green nickel. So all of those things kind of came together. And at the same time, we had been working for years on updating and providing the market with an updated preliminary economic assessment, or PEA, on our main deposit, Baptiste. And that came out in September of last year and really, I think, surprised the market positively to the upside, and showed that the project is very economic at today's nickel price and could be one of the lowest cost producers in the market. That then has allowed us to kind of raise money again at increasing valuations each time we've raised. Company now has $20 million plus in the bank. We've eliminated all of that debt, so we are debt free. And we now have a very clear path to moving the project forward in a bunch of different respects, both in terms of project development and exploration.
Let's start with the project development aspect then of this Baptiste deposit. I was hearing many years ago that this is one of the best undeveloped nickel projects in the world. What's the work that you guys still need to do to further de-risk this project from that recent PEA?
Yeah, so Baptiste, and again, we're talking about a deposit in central BC, so northwest of Prince George, in an area of the province that's very well known for these large-scale, multi-decade mining assets and operating mines. The PEA that we put out in September of last year showed that this could be one of the 10 largest nickel mines in the world in terms of annual output, and has a resource base that could support that rate of mining for 35 years. So very long life and very high rate of nickel production. And that nickel production would be at very low cost, at around $2.75 per pound of nickel produced, which would be in the bottom quartile of the cost curve. So very attractive economics. They are generating an after-tax net present value of in excess of $2 billion Canadian. So really a world-class project. So we now have a very clear path forward ahead of us between infill drilling, metallurgical test work, and a host of other sort of optimization opportunities that we'll be embarking on, where we have a clear path now to delivering a preliminary feasibility study and accomplishing that next major milestone on Baptiste within the next couple of years. with a real focus on optimizing some of the key parameters, we do think that we can improve significantly on the result of that previous PEA by doing more work, particularly on the metallurgical side of the project.
So as you guys make this move into the pre-feasibility study and all that work that goes into there, what in your eyes are some of the key catalysts that could still drive the stock higher as you do this type of work?
Yeah, so catalysts relating to Baptiste are really around the metallurgical parameters of the project. So confirming and potentially optimizing recoveries, as well as seeing the opportunity to potentially have lower operating costs associated with metallurgy. One of the other key areas is that this project, besides producing nickel, is also capable of producing cobalt and iron ore in fairly significant quantities. Now, we did not assume any byproduct revenue credits for any of the cobalt or iron ore production in the PEA. However, that'll be a key area of focus for us going forward. Being able to monetize one or both of those product streams, the cobalt and the iron, could add significantly to the project economics and really serve to kind of, you know, lower the cost of nickel production on a byproduct basis. So that's a key area that we would look at as a catalyst on the metallurgical side. You know, infill drilling as well will just serve to confirm, and in some cases at the margins of the deposit, actually expand the ore body. And we do think we can deliver some very reliable sort of good results over long intersections via that drilling. And then there's the whole sort of strategic dimension to project development, you know, engagement with potential strategic partners, whether they are fitting the profile of mining companies. And then the other area where we're seeing a lot more engagement recently is with automakers and battery makers who are concerned about sort of securing nickel supply for batteries in EVs going forward.
So key financing developments as well. But as you even alluded to, the move and publishing of a pre-feas will take a couple years. That being said, there's a lot of exploration on this larger Dakar project that I think people aren't really paying attention to. We were chatting off mic and you outlined a couple targets, one being the Van target that is a new target that you sounded quite excited about. Give us some insights on this Van target, please.
Yeah, so the Dakar land package covers 245 square kilometers. Okay, so Baptiste within that covers only about 2.5 square kilometers. So about 1% of the overall land package has yielded one of the five largest undeveloped nickel deposits in the world. So looking around at the vast expanse of the rest of the land package has allowed us to define other targets. And the one that we're most excited about in the near term is called Van. So Van is located 6 kilometers north of Baptiste within the overall land package at Dakar. The footprint of outcropping bedrock at Van covers an area that measures actually about 3 square kilometers. So it's larger in scale than the footprint of Baptiste. And even more interesting, the grades of nickel at surface in outcrop are higher at the Van target than they are at Baptiste. So that suggests to us that Van has the potential to be larger and or a higher grade than Baptiste, which itself, as we've proven, is already kind of highly economic. So Van has never been drilled. And the reason for that is that it was formerly covered by dense forest. However, those forests, those trees have been taken out by logging companies over the last few years and have allowed us great access to get in there to assess this target on the basis of outcrop and to define a program that we're going to execute on this year for that initial drilling at Van.
Okay, so drilling this year, what work does need to get done then before you get that drill on the ground?
Yeah, so we will probably be boots on the ground there by the middle to latter part of May. Again, you know, the nice thing about Van as a drill target is it's not, you know, a wing and a prayer on the basis of sort of geochemical or geophysical anomalies. The target has been defined on the basis of sampling of outcropping bedrock over that 3 square kilometer area. We'll do a little bit of ground magnetics work to further hone in to optimize the drill collar placement. But that will be kind of done in very short order. And then we would expect to be able to start drilling sometime in June.
Okay. Now, there's also two other targets that are, for the most part, in between this van target and the Baptiste deposit. This is called Target B, or B target, and the SID target. Couple drill holes have been already done at these targets. Give us an update here of what you like about the B target and the SID target.
Yeah, what we've shown there, and it's been several years since those were drilled, and in very limited drilling, only three holes between those two targets have shown very long intersections. So, you know, multiple hundreds of meters of material that grades significantly higher than the average grade at Baptiste. So that suggests to us that that the SID target and the B target are potentially standalone deposits in and of themselves, to be further confirmed by drilling going forward. However, given the size of the prize at Van and given that the vast scale that we see there and those higher grades at surface, Van will be our initial focus for this year. And SID and Target B are probably for future years. And another element of kind of our program here will be further sort of boots on the ground truthing to define other targets. Again, you know, I can't emphasize enough, you know, Baptiste only covers 1% of the overall land package here. And so there's a lot that we can do to define other targets elsewhere within the overall land package at Descartes.
So what does this mean for potential takeovers or even the move into some sort of development or production? You already have a large deposit at Baptiste. What's best case scenario with some of these other targets then if you're going to drill them?
Yeah, best case scenario is not really about adding tons. I mean, adding tons is nice and it could ultimately take the mine life of the project from the 35 years at Baptiste and extend that to 40, 45, 50, 60 and beyond. And that in and of itself is I think of huge strategic importance for any, you know, for example, major mining company that really, are attracted to the idea of multi-generational mining projects like this. For us, the real prize is seeing if these targets, in particular, the Van target, have higher grade. And, you know, if Van target is shown to be Baptiste-like in scale, but has higher grades, then that could potentially change the development plan. And it could be that Van emerges as the number one deposit, so to speak, or the 1A, and Baptiste in that case might be 1B. So this is important work for us to do now to really try to understand what we have at Van before we advance, you know, too much further on completing that pre-feasibility study for the project.
Okay, so now that the company has about $20 million Canadian in cash, what is the budget for the drilling at Van and at Baptiste, and how many meters do you think you'll get at both?
Yeah, so the budget is in the range of $2 to $2.5 million for both, for a total of 6,000 meters, 3,000 meters at each of Van and Baptiste. You know, the nice thing about this style of mineralization that we're after is, as you know, as you pull up core and as you cut and log core, the visual does tell you a lot about what you have. And so that gives us good flexibility to, you know, as we see fit strategically, potentially to expand, you know, drill programs as appropriate.
All right, Martin, I appreciate this update. Very exciting to see all the changes that have happened for FBX Nickel and still this fundamental value that the Baptiste deposit brings to the market, but all these other targets that you are now looking at, and with cash in the bank and a whole new nickel market here, this company, rightfully so, has had a pretty nice run just in the last year. If anybody has any further questions for Martin involving FBX Nickel or simply on the nickel market, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will follow up with Martin. Hey, Martin, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks a lot, Corey.